and paternosters. He had the store, you right?
Yes.
But also had a eucalyptus kiln down in the Cadinia Creek. He used to make eucalyptus down there. And Matt Paternoster, that's his son, Molly's father, worked down there. She knows all about that eucalyptus kiln. Gum leaf eucalyptus. I wouldn't be surprised if the names doesn't still exist, but they made eucalyptus for years down in the creek and the gum leaves. Up at what they now call Guy's Hill, really, just near the store there. Metzentines. Why they called it Guy's Hill, I wouldn't know, because it was always Metzentines. Old Mr. Metzentine lived in the lane alongside the milk bar up there, down on the near the creek. And there was a big hole in the creek there. That's where all the best fishing was. There's no fishing in and out, you know. Reservoir and all the rest was half dry. But that's where we got the best blackfish at Metzentine's. It was always called Metzentine's, and why they called it Guy's Hill, I wouldn't know. Except that a fellow named Guy had the milk bar once. And where I live now is called High Street Guy's Hill. And it's a country road away out in the bush. Why they call it High Street is just plain stupid, you know. When we were members of the Packnum, American Packnum, whatever they called it, Historical Society, I haven't gone for years now. But the council, the Shire Council, then used to always submit all these things to the Historical Society. What do you think of this, you know? But I don't think they could have done that by that one, because surely they wouldn't have called it High Street. It's just a country road, you know. It's a private road when it gets up further. High Street, Guy's Hill, stupid. But that was Metzentine's, and that's somewhere where they had their eucalyptus thing, on the creek there somewhere.
Do you want to say a bit about your father's business?
Well, I was going to say we were the only painter. I was never a painter, but my eldest brother always was. And it was quite a fair-sized business, you know. We employed men, sometimes six or seven men. And the only painter anyway. Or the only painter of any size anyway.
Was this just signs or also house painting or...?
Yeah, they were good tradesmen, both of them. They were sign writers and house painters and grainers and anything you like, you know. They could do the lot. And my father's brother, Charlie Warren, he wasn't married, he lived with us. He was a plasterer by trade. He worked with my father as a painter, and he did all the rosettes in the ceilings and all the coves and the cornices and everything. And his tools should still be down with young Tom. My eldest brother had them all there, all his old pastor's tools. He was Charles Frederick Penelligan Warren. And he went to the war and he came home and he died soon after that. That's the First World War. Died soon after that down here. But they used to go, you know, they'd get a job at Emerald or somewhere, and they'd batch for a week, you know, horse and cart, put everything on it. His old tucker box is still in the room here. I got it. Mother would fill up the tucker box and they'd put that on, the paint and the ladders and stuff, and go away and come home on the weekend. Joe Price worked for him all his life. His family are all back in Berwick now. That's Evelyn Langford lives in those units just above SSW there. And Les, his son, lives around, I think you'd call it Clyde Road, more or less the corner of Clyde Road and Reserve Street. And Maisie never left Berwick. She lives here in Buchanan Road. Curtis, she married a chap named Curtis. That was his family. Now, he came from Sydney. My father was well known among painters and sign writers in the city, you know, and when he used to go to the city, people used to go around. Zuckerman was one, a tobacconist in Flinders Lane. In latter years, if I wanted to see my father, thought he's in town, I'd go down to Zuckerman in Flinders Lane, he's generally there, or up at the old Anklin Company in Little Collins Street. But up the top of Elizabeth Street, there was a sign writer. forgotten his name now. Well-known firm. And he used to go up there, apparently. This was before I was around, I think. Anyhow, he's up there one day, he's sitting there smoking his pipe and talking to these people up at the signwriter's place, and this young bloke, about 16, who'd just come from Sydney, came in there and wanted to know, could he give him a job as a painter? And he said, oh no, he couldn't give him a job as a painter. But he said, that bloke over there, he'll give you a job. That was my father. And he came home with Dad that night and trained, and he never left Berwick, he never worked for anyone else in his whole life as a painter. And his family were over there, just by the Anglican Church. And the three children are back in Berwick now, all of them. And he, my father died long before Joe gave up. And I don't think Evelyn or anyone will mind if I say that Tommy used to say to me, he said, I don't know what to do with old Joe. He can't earn his money, you know. He said, I can't give him the sack. He's been here much longer than I have. I can't give him the sack, but he can't earn his money. And that, anyhow, eventually at about 70 or something, Joe decided to retire. That fixed that. But he worked for no one else all his life. Now, his wife, I'm not sure, I think she was one of the Hillbricks. Anyhow, doesn't matter much, I think she was a Hillbrick. She worked for Chernside for years, you know, in the house up there. And then for Casey's when they came. And I think she was the same way. She used to go up to Casey's to work, but I think she just used to sit down all day. But Maisie worked for Casey's too for years. So she'll tell you all about that, or Evelyn, either of them. But that was Joe's wife.
Is there any of your father's work still in Berwick?
Oh, well, I suppose there's plenty, but of course it's well and truly covered over by Tommy's work now.
Right, any of
the work? We used to drive up through Gippsland, and Tommy, you could tell the signwriting, you know, it's like handwriting. Tommy said, there's one of Dad's signs over there in that shop, you know, and all this sort of thing. Some of those old shop windows may still exist, I don't know, but it's all been covered up by Tommy, I would say.
Any of his work still that you know?
Oh, yes, he's well known around the place. He didn't work for many years in the finish, but they used to find, I remember, a Presbyterian church up on top of the hill there, now the Uniting Church. Someone was painting up there, someone right up in the top of the beams up there, and they found Dad's name and Joe Price and all the rest of it. They had a habit those days of, this is a sliding door, but the doors that open, they used to, on top of it, they put a bit of paint, you know, and just write with a pencil in the wet paint, and, and they found those things all over the place, Dad and Tommy were. But the last one I remember was up at the Presbyterian Church. They were quite surprised about how to find their name, you know, and probably a date when they painted it or something. And the tops of the doors in there on it when they did the job. But and all the records of those, Tommy had them down here. But they all got burnt. I don't know why. Stupid. Bill Hudson bought a place down on the Soldiers Road after he retired from his, you know, actively being in the business. And I forget whose place it was, but you know, he got Tommy, and he were good coppers, of course, and he got on to Tommy, and Tommy had all the records of when the house was built and what it cost to paint it and all the rest of it, you know, had all those things down there. Way back, all the places around the district.
What a shame.
Yeah, well, I said to young Tom one day, you know, what about all those things, and I'd like to get hold of them. He said, I'd burn them all. He said, well, Dad said he didn't want people looking into them, and, you know, he wanted them burnt. And I swear he could have said, yes, all right, I'll do that, but you shouldn't have heard him. But he did. Or he said he did. And of course, Tommy had a lot of the oldest photos of Berwick and all that. Well, I don't know what's happened to them. A lot of these photos in here, you'll see it too worn down.
All right.
See, there's one there, the first one we picked.
Yeah.
Tommy had lots of them. Jimmy Richardson's got a few too.
Mm-hmm.
But Tommy had a whole lot. And, I had a couple of those to hang here, and Alison's got them framed, which Mercy Greaves gave me, of 1877. the day of the opening of the railway station, and the town, a view like that one that Mercy Davy gave me some years ago. Mercy Greaves, her name, maiden name was Davy. And Alison's got it somewhere, she hadn't yet put her paintings and things up. But
that'd be very interesting to me, that one.
Those photos?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, well, they're well-known photos, but still they were framed.
I haven't seen that one.
They were framed and everything, and it's quite nice. I said to Alison, if you don't hang it up there, I wanted it up a beak, so, you know, I left it with Ali because she looked after. Our family historian is up at Euroa. She's got all the family history way back to Bulio. We're trying to get it anyway. That's Helen. But Mercy's very alert, and I want to go and see Mercy. I often do see her, but I want to go and ask her about the Fullers, my old family that are in Berwick. She should know about them. My parents talked about them.
This is just an aside, but where Mercy Greaves used to live, you know the house Brendan where she used to live?
What name?
Brendan.
Down near the creek.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Next to the house, there's a little old cottage on the property.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find out about that little old house.
Well, that was a railway building down at Beaconsfield Railway Station.
Was it?
Yeah.
And when...
Didn't Mercy tell me that?
She couldn't remember. I asked
several
times.
Well, I'm not clear on it, but it was at the Beaconsfield Railway Station. I'm pretty sure of this. And it came up there before the Greaves took that property over.
Yeah, there was a Mrs. Drake.
Yeah, I don't know, it was there before the Greaves, but... I've already understood it came from the Beaconsfield Railway Station.
Right. Do you have any idea about what year it might have come?
No. It's a wonder Mercy doesn't know about that.
She doesn't remember it. I mean, I did ask, and I showed her photos.
She remembers most things.
Yes, but this one she just said, oh, it was a railway cottage, and she couldn't remember anything else.
Well, I've always understood it came from Beaconsfield Railway Station.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's... further than I've got before.
I wouldn't guarantee that, but that's what I've always understood.
Mm-hmm.
And someone who might tell you something about it, not that they were here at the time or anything else, would be Maggie Allen or Fred Allen.
Don't know them.
Well, they're right opposite place. That place of Greaves is next to Clover Cottage, more or less, isn't it?
Yes.
Manuka Road's here.
Yeah.
There's a little street runs down there called Allen Street.
Right.
Runs down to the old swimming hole. It used to be there. And Allen's are just there.
Oh.
Jimmy Allen, the son.
Yeah.
That's Fred and Maggie's brother. Lives on the corner of Allen Street and Cadinia Street.
Right.
And the Allens, Fred and Maggie, neither of them married, they lived in the old house there.
Mm-hmm.
And they've recently moved into Mansfield Estate somewhere.
Right.
They sold that.
Mm-hmm.
They're both retired. Now, they talk about it. What they actually know, you know, as authentic, I wouldn't like to say, because they came to Berwick. I don't know quite when, but, you know, they weren't born here or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But they lived here many years. And they'll tell you about that place.
How would they have shifted it?
Oh, I don't know.
Because it seems to be all
dry or something. How did they shift the building down to the cheese factory? On wheels and, you know, trailer sort of things.
Mm.
Well, I've always understood it came from Beaconsfield Railway Station.
Mm.
But I think I've spoken to the Allens about that. Marguerite and Fred. Mrs. Allen was a lovely old lady. I don't remember their father, but he was there in that cottage, which they like to call a miner's cottage.
Mm-hmm.
Don't think any miners ever lived in it, never mind. And they had quite a big bit of ground there. And they recently sold it. I presume there'll be flats or something on it. But Mrs. Allen, their mother, was a lovely lady. She was a teacher originally, born up at Yarrawa on the Hume Highway. And her nieces or nephews or someone, can't think of the name at the moment, they live in the old houses up there. Well, no, they built a new house, but a couple of old stone cottages was where their mother would be born. And she came to Berwick some year, you know, many years ago. And my aunt, my mother's younger sister, Nellie, she was organist at the Anglican Church here for 50 years. I've got a gold watch, or I gave it to Alice and she's got it now, that they presented her when she retired, 50 years service as organist. And then my brother Jock took that job. He was organist for 15 years there. And he eventually was teaching down at Wonthaggi. He used to come home every weekend to play the organ. And after he retired, Mrs. Allen was organist for some years.
Right. Where do they live now?
Well, Jimmy's still on the corner. He's a younger son.
Mm-hmm.
But Fred and Maggie, who, you know, they like to talk about all these things.
Yeah.
They're active with the Wilson Botanic Park and all this sort of thing.
So.
They live in Mansfield Estate somewhere. I'm not sure of the street. You know Mansfield Estate? Well, that's a corner of the highway,
yeah,
and back towards Mary Warren, on
new estate,
opposite the Botanic Park there.
Oh, it's a new one, is it?
Hmm?
A new one, is it?
Oh, well, it's new, yes.
Yeah.
But it's opposite the Botanic Park, all those houses.
Mm.
Now, Jimmy Richardson's, who you'll see one day, grandfather, came to Berwick, James Richardson, many years ago, and had a butcher shop in Clyde Road.
Yeah.
Just about where, just up from the corner, about where that second-hand car yard is now. What's his name? I've forgotten. But anyhow, just...
I've got photos of that.
Yeah, well, just the old butcher shop.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that was Jimmy's grandfather.
Right.
He had one, two, three, four sons. And they ran the butcher business later. Ted Richardson lived next near the shop. Jim Richardson lived in Langwell Lane. Do you know Dr. Frank's surgery there?
No.
Well, just around the corner from Clyde Road is Frank. They call it the Langwell Clinic or something. There's several doctors there now. And right opposite that is where Jimmy Richardson lives. He lives in the house he was born in, and that was his father, Jim Richardson.
Mm.
And then up just behind that is Brayside Park. Well, up in there, in the middle of that, was where Frank Richardson lived. And Jack Richardson had the shop in Narre Warren, on the corner of the highway and whatever that street is, where estate agent thing is now.
Mm.
He had the butcher shop there. And then they killed all the meat and everything down there. These slaughter yards were there, and the back of the slaughter yards was the big paddock and a dam away down the back where the cattle used to run, and that's now Mansfield Estate, all that land you see. And of course the slaughter yard's been gone for years. The slaughter yard moved to Beaconsfield. I think Jack Thomas moved it down there. Anyhow, that's where it was, just behind the butcher shop. I can remember him killing the cattle in that there. Funny old shop, but still, they were good old days. Well, Jimmy lives in the house he was born in, and he's, what, about 90 nearly, isn't he, I think?
I think so.
That's a bit unusual, isn't it?
Yeah.
Put a new roof on and a few things, and his elder brother, Ted, lived up above him. That's, in fact, Dr. Frank bought all that. I think he's sort of preparing for the council to take over all that part when they build their supermarkets and things.
Yeah.
And I presume he bought it to build a new surgery over there, I don't know. But that was Ted. And Sid, the younger one, worked for McNabb's Garage as a mechanic. He's dead. He went up to Bairnsdale eventually, worked for the Country Roads Board, looking after all their machinery and stuff. but he's dead. There are two daughters, May and Ruby, and Ted and Jimmy and Sid. That's their family, I think. Frank Richardson had a bigger family. And they were a younger family too. Jack Richardson was at Narre Warren. Now Mercy would be able to tell you something about them, because Humphrey Davy, that's one of Mercy's brothers, married one of the Jack Richardson family. Mercy was Mercy Davy.
Yeah.
It's a nice name, Mercy, isn't it?
Yeah, lovely.
And they farmed Brentwood Estate, where Brentwood Estate is now. That was their farm. They took it over from J.B. Pearson.
Right.
They bought it from Pearson. I think this is right. I think Davy bought it from Pearson. And he came into Berwick and built a double-storey house right opposite us, which was the original building of St Margaret's School, and still there. You know, they built other buildings around.
Kippenross,
that's right. Well, that was J.B. Pearson. Now, he farmed...
Pearson built the house, did he?
The double-storey place, yes. Yeah, J.B. Pearson. Yes. He had a daughter and two sons. That's now part of the main building up there, their offices and that. And see, right in front of that, do you know the cottage is just as you go up, a lovely little brick cottage as you go in the entrance on the right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there were two of those originally. They were exactly the same. There was that one, and just along from that is what I call number. That was G.O. Wilson's place, big brick house, which the school has also taken over. And G.L. Wilson pulled the other cottage down to build that house, which was a great pity because they're lovely little cottages and they were exactly the same. One was a reverse of the other. I just forget that, you know, it had the veranda this way, the one that's there, and the other one had the veranda that way. They're just reversed. Lovely little cottages. Well, George Wilson lived on Wilson Hill, of course, in Wilson House. And he moved from there and built Hazeldene in the middle of this triangular block here. Sid Smith worked for him. He lived in the weatherboard cottage. It's still there, right on the top corner of Harkway Road and Gardiner Street. And G.L. Wilson had, two children, we'll say, Joyce and Georgie, who go in Botanic Park up there. And there was a younger boy who died as a baby, Jamie. And they were living here. And Georgie would confirm this, I've always understood that they reckoned it was damp and cold in there, and he got pneumonia or something and he died, this little kid. So they then built Number down Station Street and lived right opposite us. Of course, my parents knew them very well, they were very friendly. And I grew up with Georgie, more or less. Georgie's younger than me. His sister's dead, Joyce. Georgie's on what we call the Onion Hill. I did call the Onion. That's the only property owned now because he's sold all the rest. You'd know the history of the Bowling Green and all that, do you?
No, not all of it.
Well, I think her name was James Wilson.
Mm.
It's all in here.
Yeah.
Came to Berwick many years ago and he owned the land up the Harkaway Road and down the highway to Hessel Road. And he left it to William Wilson and George Wilson, two of his sons. And it was divided from the hotel on an angle like that, right through. And George Wilson, G.L. Wilson, Georgie's father, owned this side, and William Wilson owned the other side, the highway side. And Henry lived in a house there. Henry married one of William Wilson's daughters. That's Quarry Hills. And well, George Wilson gave him the first bit for the Bowling Green down here, and young George gave him another bit. And then young George sold the Harkaway Road frontage and eventually sold the lot. But they owned the Onion Hill where he's living now. They owned that. And that's another stupid thing about Berwick. It's now called the Old Coach Road. Do you know it at all?
I know there's some debate about whether coaches ever went up it.
Yeah, that's right. Well, it's just crazy. You see, the Hartley Road runs up here like this, and when it gets up here, it winds around that way. But the road did run straight through here, up over that hill. And this is the Onion Hill, as we call it, where Georgie now lives, and his daughter. There are two houses there. Well, this road was called Irwin Street. Irwin was a councillor here.
Yes, I remember.
And I came home one time and forgotten her name, but still lives up there. Lived in Berwick many years. She said to me, oh, we're going to call that the Old Coach Road. And I said, that's stupid. No coaches ever ran up that road, you know. Now, if you get up on top of that hill, you can see it. It goes straight road, right through Wilson Hill, and straight down into the Clyde Road and down to the Western Port, or to Turin or somewhere. And, you know, in those days, someone in the city just used to say, we'll build a road from there going north, you know, and that was it. It ran straight up there over the hill and became Baker's Road up further and ran out on the highway, you know, through on the Harkaway Road, through Harkaway. And if you get up there, you can see it straight. Well, this bit through Wilson's property was never built, and George Wilson eventually took that over into his farm, and it became part of Wilson's property. He did the same down in Gloucester Avenue, took over the street there. It was never made, but surveyed. And Gibbs Street is the same. You see, Gibbs Street runs up and finishes in Gloucester Avenue, where the corner of the hospital. Well, that was surveyed straight through, but never built. And it's a pity it wasn't, because, you know, it would have been an ideal road from up the hill near down to the railway station. But now that road now, I don't know what became of it, whether it's part of St Margaret's, or some of it would be. But the old police station was there, and the old police station, not the present old one, alongside it. And that was Gibbs Street. And, well, it was surveyed to go straight through, but never made. Anyhow, why should I, that's stupid, you can't call it Old Coach Road. You know, yeah, don't do that. Anyhow, I appointed a lot of people, and it was more or less put off. They didn't call it the Old Coach Road. But then, when I come back from New Guinea, I had a car those days, and I'm driving up there one day, up to Harkaway somewhere. I see a sign on the window, the Old Coach Road. Just shows that if they're persistent and don't make too much noise about it, you can get the thing. Well, no coaches ever went over that road. Yes. I said to this lady, I can't think of her name, I said, where were these coaches going that you reckon ran up there? She said, oh, they're going up to the goldfields. I said, what goldfields? She said, oh, I don't know. I said, it's all baloney.
Yes.
And I queried this with Norman. I said, look, they call the Old Coach Road. What do you know about that? He said, no coaches ran up there. He said, they can easy prove whether any coaches ran up there, because when it went down the other end, it went into a little creek down there. And as kids, we used to go up there, and, you know, there was a small trees in that all around for chasing possums. Yes. This was, you know, one of our weekend outings, go up and get the possums. Well, they called that the glue pot down in that creek. And Norman said, they can easily prove whether any coaches went up, because he said, all they've got to do is get a bulldozer and go down into the glue pot and dig that up, and they'll find the coach and the horses and the people all in the bottom of the glue pot, because they couldn't get through, you know. He said, that's easy to prove. It's never done, of course, but no coaches ran up there. It's a very romantic name, nice and all the rest of it, but it's baloney, which annoys me. It should have called it Baker's Road, because it is Baker's Road. But they never got through the glue pot sort of thing. But if you get up there, you can look straight up Baker's Road and straight down the Clyde Road. It's a straight road, north and south. And it should have been called Baker's Road. Baker was a plasterer up there. He used to work for my father at times in Baker's Road. Or nearly up to, when you go up Baker's, the Harkaway Road runs around like that, the Baker's Road runs down there, Noack Road runs off there, like that. Nurse Trail's place was on this corner.
Oh, yeah.
And John Owen lives there now, knowing well, knew him in New Guinea.
Did you know her at all?
Hmm?
Did you know her at all, Jessie Traill?
Oh, I didn't know her really. I knew plenty of people did know her, you know. I don't know, Jimmy probably knew her, I don't know. But I can't say I knew her, but she had a little cottage in here, very old cottage. And in the latter part of her life, Miss Josky came to live with her.
Mm.
Do you know about that?
Yes.
Yeah, well, Miss Josky was principal of a women's college or something, the university,
Melbourne,
you know?
Yeah.
Something of that sort. Well, as far as I know, I couldn't guarantee it. When Nurse Traill died, she left the place to Miss Josky. And Nurse Traill had a studio there.
Mm.
Well, now, when my daughter Margaret was a teacher in New Guinea, Sassambada, about 30 miles out of Kokoda up in Papua, the nurse was Clara Josky, who was a niece of this Miss Josky.
Oh.
Her parents were doctors down in Perrine, her father, just near the corner.